At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can get in queue by calling 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your questions, concerns, or comments. Matt will answer the phone, and all you need to do is give him your name and where you're calling from, and that's about it. And then you just hang on, first come, first serve. So thanks for having me on your show, and guess what? Let's talk about the ups and downs, your annuals. Wow. The pansies that I bought, I think we've gotten 2+ months out of them. They're still looking pretty darn good. Usually by this time of year, they've really overly elongated. The stems are really weak, and I end up, you know, giving them the toss. But I'm going to keep them around for a little bit longer. Your daffodils, your tulips, and all that other stuff, if the foliage has turned halfway brown, you can cut them all the way down to the ground. You don't have to leave any stubs or anything else. So that's, you can get rid of that, you know, sort of. They start looking, and especially if they start bending over, because they start looking like weeds. And your edibles, how about the ground covers? What are they looking like? Houseplants, lawn.
Yes.
Your zoysia lawn should start perking up. And I'm going to go, I haven't decided totally if after my walk and talk today, I'm going to go home and do some stuff in the yard. I may do another second fertilizing on my zoysia. I did one when would it be? Yeah, it would have been near the end of April because it was so warm. And I might do another one today. I haven't decided if I'm going to or not. Tree shrubs, vines, water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but always remember my answers, comments, and opinions is certainly not the only garden path to take, but offered for you to consider. As I said before, Matt is producing, so during the week I do some landscape consulting. So if you'd like for me to come to your home and do a walk and talk, you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. The homepage will have my email address and phone number. And to be honest with you, I'm getting a little lazy with my website. But anyway, still the homepage is, that's where the information is. And this week, after the show, as I said before, I'm headed to Wentzville. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to be going to Maplewood and Barnhart for my walk and talks. And that tip of the trowel is a special recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to National Garden Clubs, and that's the one that's headquartered near the Botanical Garden. They were founded in 1929, and it's one of the most recognized nonprofit, largest volunteer gardening organizations in the world. In the National Garden Club 2017 Award of Excellent winners are Dr. Alan Steenman. He's a director of the Alan I. and Helen J. Hunting, and a director of the Robert B. Annis Water Resource Institute at Grand Valley State University in Muskegon, Michigan. So he's published all kinds of articles and everything else, and he's the award winner. Also, Pearl Fryer, and she's a self-taught topiary artist and horticulturist. Visitors from around the globe travel to visit Pearl Fryer's topiary garden in Bishopsville, South Carolina. They marvel at just her remarkable work. And also another national award by the National Garden Club is the Heirloom Seed Project. And that's Meadowmac Valley High School in Maine. It's the oldest and one of the largest school-based seed-saving programs in the United States. So again, these are awards every year the National Garden Club, which is headquarters here in St. Louis. It's actually on the grounds of the Botanical Garden. It's between like the Botanical Garden and Tower Grove Park. But they give these awards out every year. So those are the three winners. Sorry if I mispronounced any of the names or anything like that. So they get the tip of the trowel today. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, to the phones we go, South County, and that's where Lois lives. Hi, Lois.
Hi, this is Lois, and I want to know, I bought two miniature boxwoods last fall. They planted them last fall. And the front one is really good with new growth, real green and nice, but the back one developed these orange leaves, and there's not much new growth. There is some, but I don't know just quite what to do. I called the place where I got it, and they named some kind of a chemical, but I don't remember, and I'm wondering if you could help me decide what to do.
To me, anything that's been installed that recently, a chemical is not going to solve the problem. There was something related to the plant in and of itself, either the location, how deep it was planted, you know, or something along that line. A chemical is not going to solve this problem.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's kind of guaranteed. What do I do? Do I take it back or how do I?
I would call them and ask them, tell them, you know, it's the foliage, losing some foliage. It's not showing any kind of growth. Now, did they install the plant themselves?
Yes, I had it installed by somebody they'd suggested.
Okay, so basically, you know, like I said, that's not a chemical. What they're probably going to tell you is until all the leaves fall off, it's not technically dead, which is totally true. But it's very, you know, it's a little bit frustrating to kind of have this thing, you know, why this is happening. It's not going to be as solved by, you know, spraying something on it or pouring something on the ground. So either it's planted too low, like I said, the root system is, you know, not good. But if you got one that came at the same time that's really looking good and this one's in close proximity, there's something wrong with that particular plant that's not looking good. So call them, ask them, tell them you're not satisfied with the aesthetic value of it, whether it's dead or not.
Okay, yeah, that's true. And so, you know, it is kind of guaranteed, but not always, not the whole way. So, okay, well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, so I would call them and let them know that you're not really happy with it. Let's go now to Arnold in Bob's yard. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, I got planted some daylilies and a liopis, and I got rock around them. What? Good to put kill the grass around them without killing the flowers.
Basically, daylilies and liriope, they're in the grass family, so you got to be very, very careful. If these were like broadleaf, you know, perennials, you could spray a grass killer around. But if you got grass in beds with these guys, it's going to be a very, very difficult, you know, weedy grass, whatever kind of grass it happens to be. Difficult to get that under control. You're going to have to basically protect the plants, the daylilies or the liriope, with like a piece of cardboard or something and go out there and spray an herbicide to kill the weedy grasses you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah. So we got rocks on them, but in that last bit, we smother it all out?
The rocks are not going to smother anything.
I didn't think they would. One more question. I got a Japanese maple.
Yeah.
About 10 years old, and it's feeling sickly. What's wrong with it?
Japanese maple, some of the varieties, you know, when they hit a certain age, they just go downhill. Now, is this one that kind of grows like an umbrella, sort of the same height? Yeah. They, you know, some of them will last for a long time, but other ones, even by people that, now I'm not saying you don't know what you're doing, but let's say by horticulturalists, they just go downhill. Then there's nothing can be done.
Another thing, because it's been real good till this year, and we covered it up when that frost was coming through, you know, when the other things started leaving out.
Right.
And we still got dead leaves and that on it.
Yeah, if there's only a few, you know, as long as you got some good leaves, you know, I wouldn't rush out there and yank it up out of the ground, but I'd watch out. If you start seeing major branches, you know, where all of a sudden all the leaves on that branch turn brown, then it's headed to you know, downhill. I mean, those are hybrids. They are, you know, they've been grafted, the root system that they're growing on. They've been stuck on that root system, so they're a little bit iffy, and sometimes it's just, you never know, even after a period of time, why they go downhill. But sometimes they do, and then sometimes they don't.
All righty, I appreciate it.
Sure.
In other words, just pull grass and leave the flowers alone is what you're trying to tell me.
Exactly. Or spray an herbicide, making sure you don't get the herbicide onto the plants, the liriope or the daylilies.
What about the root system? Will it sink in that far?
Yeah. If you get a systemic type herbicide like the Bonide Cleanup or Roundup or stuff like that, that goes all the way down through the stems into the ground and kills the root system too.
All righty. Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Now let's go from Arnold out to Chesterfield and talk with Rob. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
This is about Korean yellow groove bamboo that, as you probably know, is very invasive.
Right.
And I wanted to see what the best way was to eliminate that. I can't physically dig up all the roots in certain areas. But do you recommend Tordon for applying to the root zone or the rhizome root?
You certainly could use that. You could use Roundup for killing woody plants. You know, you could use any of that stuff. You know, so either one of those type things would, you know, will work.
Do you have to go and dig up the rhizome root and cut it and actually paintbrush it onto that, or can you put it on the foliage of the plant?
You can put it on the foliage of the plant. It'll translocate it down into the plant.
Okay. So you can spray it on, and will, I've heard some concern about it could toxify the soil.
Yeah, Tordon, you know, could certainly possibly do that. And with any kind of herbicide, you just have to read the label and everything else. Now, I don't know how many stems, you know, canes of bamboo you have coming up, but also you can cut them off like at 2 feet and just paint the herbicide right on to right after you make the cut onto the open wound of where you cut the cane off.
Okay, yeah, there's hundreds of them, literally. Yeah, so it's
yeah.
gotten out of hand, and, you know, it's just getting into too much stuff.
Right, it'll go. So. I mean, it'll keep going and going and going and going.
Okay. So you don't have to dig that rhizome root, then?
No, you don't.
You can just cut the stalk and
right.
put it on the top of that, or even spray the foliage.
Right, exactly. And what you need to do,
okay.
too, is in the springtime, you see those shoots coming up that look like asparagus shoots. Go out
right.
there right at that time and go after them, because it's going to probably take several years to finally get rid of this.
Okay. Is this the same herbicide that the state highway would use?
I don't know that for sure if it is, you know, so it very well could be.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Certainly. And now let's go to John, and John is in Baldwin. Hi, John.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Very good.
Good, good. Mike, we have an eastern redbud, and it's about its fourth or fifth year. It's 12 feet high now.
Wow.
And we're just looking at the bottom branches. Should we start cutting those off? They're about 3 feet off the ground as opposed to 12.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to cut them off unless you just want to. I mean,
okay.
If you look at the cedars, this is an eastern cedar which grows along the highway. It's a native type thing, and they can have branches all the way down to the ground,
okay.
basically.
All right, so we leave it alone. It's no problem. It's going to grow as a tree.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Ultimately, as you're probably looking at 25 feet, it's about as tall as it's going to get.
So may I ask about another tree?
Sure.
You saw this one. You were out here last year. It's a weeping cherry, and it was a paint on the trunk, and you said, who put this in? And we won't say who, but you know who. And you told us it should be pointed to the north,
and right.
pointed to the east. Well, that tree isn't doing so hot, and there's some dead branches. Any harm in cutting them off?
No. Get rid of any kind of dead stuff. Just make sure you don't leave a big stub. And yeah, the production nurseries paint, you know, a dot on the trunk of the trees to orient towards the north, because that's the side that, when it was growing at the nursery, was facing the north. That's one, the side that doesn't want to be facing, you know, an area that's going to get more sun, because you can get sun scald on the bark and cause bark splitting.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
Yep, you too.
Yep, bye.
And Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. We're headed west to Wentzville. And Shirley, how are you today?
Just fine. Great. Thank you very much. I have three questions. Do I use the same fertilizer on trees that I use on my lawn?
You should probably not. You should probably get a fertilizer that's formulated for trees, one that's formulated for lawn.
Okay.
I mean, it's just... there are certain micronutrients within a fertilizer type that the other one may not have. And so, I mean, it's just crucial if you're fertilizing for the right reasons. Now, with trees, you can do something called deep root feeding, where you actually have somebody come out and auger holes and just backfill it with compost. So you don't necessarily need to use fertilizer around your trees if your trees are healthy. But you can use a fertilizer for trees if you like.
This is just a small tree that I put in last fall. It's probably a couple years old, so I probably wouldn't go that far.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even bother fertilizing it yet, because the root system may not be developed enough to even absorb it. So you may be just wasting your money.
Okay, but when I start, do I use granule?
Yeah, I like granule, but if you do the granule, then you have to water it in. So, and if you put it on top of mulch, you definitely got to water it in, because the mulch can bind it up. So you got to water it in enough so it's going to get down through the mulch.
Okay. All right, another question is, I took a tree, or it's just almost a shrub, but it's about 8 or 9 foot tree. I took it up from the front of my house, and... they had to grind the stump. It wasn't a huge stump. They had to grind it. So I'm going to have to take that soil out. My problem is I just live in a villa that has a very small yard, and I don't have any place to dig up more dirt to put in there. So I'm going to have to purchase what I put in. So what kind of... What do I buy to put in there?
You know, if you're going to try to grow stuff back in this space, I'm assuming that's what you're trying to do. You could just leave the existing soil there. I don't know why you think you need to take it out.
Well, it has a tree stump is ground in there.
Okay, you get as much of the grindings out and that, because if just removing the soil, you're going to have to dig out the root system too, or else you're just wasting your time.
I thought I've heard you say that you... can't grow something else over where you have ground a stump in the soil.
Right, exactly. So if you're going to take the soil out, you're going to have to take the root system out at the same time.
Well, that everything is out.
Okay,
the soil.
So you've already pulled everything out. Okay,
yes.
Root system, all the stump grindings and everything else. Then just get a topsoil compost blend.
Topsoil compost, okay. I want to put another shrub back in there.
That's fine.
Okay. And also, have you ever heard of rhododendron or azalea growing in full sun?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of them. I mean, there's some even at the Japanese garden, at the botanical garden, that were planted in the full sun intentionally. And a lot of times they're going to do better in the full sun than in competition with larger mature trees, which virtually, I mean, kind of more or less choke them to death, let's put it that way.
This is on the south side of the house, and the siding is white, and it sort of illuminates the sun.
Right. That's probably not the ideal spot, but, I mean, if you get a good variety like a PJM rhododendron, that one should be able to handle that circumstance.
Okay. I thought it was always all shade.
No,
okay.
Definitely not.
All right, that answers my question, and thank you very much.
Great, yeah, and if you're going to put a rhododendron, you know, or basically anything, you know, in that circumstance where you're getting reflective heat and all that other stuff, make sure, at least for the first year, it does not go through drought stress. I mean, that is crucial because it's establishing a root system, and if the root system doesn't get established, then it's, you know, got real problems in the future. Carter lives in Arnold. Hi, Carter.
Hey, Dr. Mike, I need to talk to you before I do surgery here. I have a Euronymus, and I think I had some pest issues, and I put a very mild insecticide soap on it, which it was like those real silky, might have been bagworms, but it killed off like two of the main branches that are coming up out of the ground.
Whoa.
Where the twigs were just snapping off. All the foliage is off, but when I bend the branches, there's some elastic to it, will these come off, or should I just get busy and cut them off at the ground and let the tree try to, or this Euronymus fill in?
I would say cut them off.
Yeah.
Because,
okay.
I mean, if there's even a little bit of flexibility, that doesn't mean too much. What
okay.
you can do is take your fingernail or your thumbnail or whatever, scratch the bark off a little bit. If it's green underneath there, you can wait for a little bit, but it doesn't sound good.
Okay. So basically, we're going to do something. Oh, you know what? I'm scraping it as we speak. And what am I looking for, green?
This yeah, just dead. Right underneath the bark, it should be light-colored. You're not looking for green, just, let's say, kind of a whitish-greenish look.
You know what? It looks white. It looks white in there.
Okay, so you can leave it. That means it's not totally dead yet. So if you want to, you know, fool with it, you can, or you can just still eliminate it. If it's something as you're looking at a lot, then you know.
Yeah, so I need to do surgery on this guy.
Yeah, and also, okay. if it's a big, important area, what you can do is go find out which variety it is. If you don't know, take a leaf with you to a garden center. Get a small one and plant it, you know, to kind of plug this hole aesthetically.
Oh, okay. This was a real pain in the butt. I had a really healthy one, and I ended up pulling it out with a pickup truck.
Whoa!
It was 8-9 feet tall, this other one, and I could shape it. One more quick question, sure. and this is another surgical question. I have some hybrid pear trees. I have no idea what these things are, but they're beautiful. Got some low-lying branches. I always try to trim the suckers off, but these are kind of crossing over in the street. If I take these off, will that hurt these trees?
No, it shouldn't. Just
Very
make sure
good.
If they're longer branches, cut them off in one third at a time, making the final cut where you just leave a stub on the trunk or the next biggest branch that you're cutting it from, just a quarter to a half inch. That's all the stub you want to leave. Don't make a real smooth cut because it takes it forever to try to heal those spots.
Got it. And I've used some of that. It's not the old paint, you know, like with the lead in it, but I've used some of that stuff that. Is that even effective, or is that a waste of my time?
That's cosmetic. You might as well be putting makeup on the tree.
Okay. Well, I put perfume on a pig. So. Okay. So, good stuff. I will get busy today. I'm going to go into surgery in about 35 minutes.
Great. Make sure you have rubber gloves on.
Mike, thank you, sir. Have a great
sure.
day.
Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Farms.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we got about 10 minutes of the Garden Hotline. Then at 10 o'clock, Investing Sense with Adam Bold. 11 o'clock, the Helotech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show with Scott Mosby. 1 o'clock, Rick Edelman. And 3 o'clock, Car Pro Show. 5 o'clock, KMOX Profiles. And then baseball after that. So all kinds of stuff going on today, just like usual. Jerry lives in Washington. Jerry, how are you today?
I'm fine, Mike. Thank you for your show. I have a hollyhock problem. The leaves, the lower leaves, is this problem starts at the bottom. There's little round things on the top of the leaves. They're little round spots about an eighth of an inch in diameter and kind of sunk down. On the bottom side of the leaves are about BB size, maybe a little bit smaller, galls all over the leaves. And the leaves curl up, turn brown, and die. Is this a fungicide problem, or do I need a insecticide?
Now, are we talking about the hollyhock that's a biennial that puts out leaves 1 year, and the second year puts out leaves and then sends up a flower stalk? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, they're very tall. They're in bloom right now.
Right.
I've been out of the country for 10 days, and I came home, and they're in beautiful bloom. The tops look good. I had the same problem last year, and I called, but you said you'd get an answer the next weekend, and I was gone, so I couldn't listen.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't think that I wouldn't worry too much about it. I don't think
it kills the whole thing off. Within another week, these will all be dead.
And that interrupts the flowering because they're biennials. Usually, once they flower, they're dying anyway.
Yeah, but this is some type of a gall on there. It's not on the nicer leaves. I have some plants that don't have this.
Right. What I would do is probably take a leaf to the, there's a garden center out there in Washington. Just take a couple leaves to them. Let them take a look at it.
Okay.
That's probably the best thing you can do.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take them in to Hillerman.
Right,
there,
exactly.
So, okay, Mike, thanks for the info.
Yeah, sorry. But hollyhocks are, I mean, they're tough and durable, and but they are biennial. But obviously, you've got a problem beyond that. So now let's jump from Washington over to Muscoda and go into Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Last year, we planted about a 5-foot blue spruce, and this year it really came out nice, a lot of new growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if I should be fertilizing that blue spruce.
Not yet. Let it get established a little bit more so, like probably maybe by the third year. And for anything that's evergreen like that, you want an acid-based fertilizer, so for any kind of evergreen plant. So in other words, that's going to have those micronutrients, a little bit more sulfur, a little bit more iron, things like that, that an evergreen, whether it's a broadleaf evergreen like a holly or azalea or a conifer, you know, that has needles like your spruce.
Like I couldn't use Miracle-Gro?
Well, Miracle-Gro has one specifically for acid-loving plants. It'll say it right on the box.
It does?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I should use.
Yes.
After about 3 years.
Yeah, after 2 or 3 years. Fertilizing it now, I wouldn't, you know, let it get established a little bit. The feeder roots are probably not there, you know, well enough to even uptake the, you know, the fertilizer you're going to be putting down. So just don't do it then. And probably the best time to fertilize would be, you know, as probably midwinter, maybe late winter, early spring, sometime like that.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Yep, good luck with that. And now let's go stay in Illinois, Fairview Heights, and go into Barbara's yard. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning.
Hi.
I purchased 2 hibiscus bushes. They're about 3 foot by 3 foot. Planted them in the same size container, same potting soil. One of them, the yellow one, is doing very well. The hot pink, almost red flowered, the leaves are drooping. It looks like it needs water, but I know that it doesn't.
Okay.
I let it dry before I give it water, you know, both of them. And like I said, one is doing very, very well, and the other one, it's just very unhealthy looking. They're probably about 3-4 weeks old. I've had them at my home about 4 weeks.
Sure. Now, are we talking about the tropical hibiscus, or are we talking about the hardy varieties?
Tropical.
Okay. So if the leaves are drooping and you've watered adequately and everything else, then probably it means there's too much water there. So I don't know if one of them, the one that's not doing well, if the drainage holes are clogged up in the bottom of it or something and the water's not getting out of there. But usually when something droops and it's been well watered, that indicates that the root system is under major problems. My tendency would be to pull it out of the pot, you know, kind of shake as much of the, and see how wet that actually potting mix is that it's growing in. And then maybe get, you know, let it dry a little bit before you put it back in, and then just be careful about watering it and check the drainage holes in the bottom of the pot.
Okay, because they both have the very exact same pot.
Right.
And so with the dirt that I've put, or the potting soil that I put in there, could it possibly clog the holes at the bottom?
Certainly. I do a lot of container gardening, and all my containers, you know, regardless of the size of them, I put about, you know, a couple inches. Well, I shouldn't say regardless of the size, but I put, you know, some, you know, pea gravel, and in the bigger pots, I use river rock in the bottom of it to make sure that the drainage holes don't get clogged.
Okay, I have rock in my landscaping, so I could just take a couple of handfuls of that and put it at the bottom of the pot.
Right, exactly. And just make sure that, you know, look for the hole and just make sure. I even use old broken, terracotta clay pots, and, you know, they're kind of roundish, and I put those over the drainage holes as well before I put the rock in.
Okay. All right. I'll give that a try. Thank you.
And now let's go to Jenny, and Jenny is in Oakville. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I have a woodland garden, and I do have some sunlight that comes through the canopy above it, but I have about 5 hydrangea plants that are about 6 years old, and the first 3 years, they bloomed beautifully. And the last 3 years, I have no buds and no blooms at all.
That's, you know, that's a little tough to tell because, you know, do you know which variety of hydrangea they are? Are they oak leaf hydrangea?
No, they are the ones that, they're either pink or blue.
Okay. I would say you just got lucky by getting the blooms. They're not really, you know, they really don't want to be in a, you know, a shaded area where they're competing with tree roots of that, you know, I don't know how many big trees or anything else you have in there. But to me, it sounds like they're being restricted by the root systems of the things that are creating the shade. Also, you're not doing any pruning, correct?
Well, I did read about them the first year that they didn't bloom, and I read two different things. One said to prune them back, and the other said not to. So I did some of them where I pruned them, and the other ones I didn't.
And it didn't make any difference?
No.
Yeah, so I would say, and you're fertilizing them?
Yes.
Okay, so you're doing everything you can. So, you know, to me, it's just, I mean, you know, anything flowering, and especially like hydrangeas, it's a very difficult, you know, straining circumstance for them. So they just don't have the energy to set the flower buds. But I would not, definitely don't do any pruning whatsoever on them, and just kind of keep your fingers crossed. And if by next year you get 4 years in a row with no flowers, I'd say get rid of them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, okay. How patient can you be?
Right. I mean, all the foliage is beautiful.
Right. If you like foliage, that's great. Take a selfie with the foliage, and then you can always pull it out. And you know, but beyond that, if you're not getting, you're growing them for the flowers. You're not growing them for the leaves.
Right. And actually, I have another variety. They're big, huge white ones, and the plants are huge. They're like four or five feet tall,
right,
and about 4 feet wide. And they're kind of like in the same type of area with the same soil, the same light, and everything else. And they're beautiful. They
yeah.
bloom constantly.
So the ones that are, you know, have the colors in them, they're just a little bit, generally a little weaker. So I mean, that's, I can't think of anything else. If they look healthy, it's just a matter of too much competition, and the plant just doesn't have the energy to set the flower buds and then open the flower buds up.
Okay. Then I have another little section in that same garden area, and it's a pretty big area, but I have a friend of mine gave me some ferns, and hers, when they get as tall as they're supposed to, are about 4 foot tall, and
right.
they're just beautiful. And mine never get more than about 18 inches, some of them even just 12 inches.
That's maturity and, as much as anything. So your clump, I don't know how long you've had them in there, but that's what the problem is with that. So you're just going to have to be patient.
Okay, so what should I be fertilizing those with?
An acid-based fertilizer. So one that's, you know, so just like with all the evergreens and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, and I love your show.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having me on your show. And thanks to everybody for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. I don't have a chance. Susan, I can't get to you today because we only got about 30 seconds left. But if you start seeing small clumps of things that look like grass in your yard that are dying, turning brown, and what this probably is annual bluegrass, and that's, I mean, they don't like the heat of the summertime. So just know that. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.